Wow. Makes me want to join the choir, but I'm not sure they want me.
That could be arranged. Can you smile?
Yeah, I can do that. Our scripture comes to us today from Revelation 7, 9 through 17. It's the great crowd of the seventh seal. After this I looked, and there was a great crowd that no one could number. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held branches in their hands. They cried out with a loud voice, "Victory belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood in a circle around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and always. Amen." Then one of the elders said to me, "Who are these people wearing white robes, and where do they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." Then he said to me, "These peoples who have come out of great hardship, they have washed their robes and made them white in the Lamb's blood. This is the reason they are before God's throne. They worship him day and night in his temple, and the one seated on the throne will shelter them. They won't hunger or thirst anymore. No sun or scorching heat will beat down on them, because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. He will lead them in the springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So thank you, Marty, for reading those beautiful, powerful words. These words that give us but a glimpse, give us but a vision of what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like. What a beautiful thing to think about the joy that must be in that place of worship, of seeing the light of God shining so brightly. What an amazing thing to think about and to one day experience. So today we celebrate All Saints Sunday, a time to remember those that have gone on to be with the Lord. We remember those most especially that have passed in the last year. And after my message, we'll have an opportunity to lift up those names. But we also remember the names of those that have passed many years before this one. And we honor their memory. And we remember. And in doing my research about All Saints Day and All Saints Sunday, the reason that we celebrate this season is because there's a belief that at this time of harvest, that the veil between heaven and earth is thinner than at any other time. And there's an understanding that there's a strong bond between the church triumphant. The church triumphant are those that have gone on before us and have went home to be with the Lord, and the church militant. It doesn't mean we go around carrying guns or sergeants or anything like that, but the church militant means that we are those who are alive and continuing the work of the church today. And so there is a tight and close bond between the church triumphant, those that have gone on before us, and the church militant, all of us doing the work of Christ today. And so we remember that truth. Today is a day that we are reminded of those saints who are up in heaven, looking down on us, interceding for us, experiencing life along with us in the kingdom of heaven. We remember them, and we honor their memory. And so, as I said, today is a day of remembrance. We most especially remember those saints that have laid that foundation for our faith. Whether that be parents and grandparents, whether that be Sunday school teachers from many years ago, pastors that have been a part of your life, we honor those saints and we remember them. So I want to share with you about a couple of saints that made an impact in my life. Those saints that have gone on to be with the Lord are my grandparents. My grandmother, Penuel, was the one who taught me how to recite the Lord's Prayer. And my grandfather, Penuel, was the one who taught me about the value and the importance of time. My grandfather was one of the most faithful people that you'd ever want to meet. When his health allowed, he would be in church every single Sunday. And when he wasn't able to be in church, even when he was sick, he would still send his tithe to make sure that they had it for that week. He was one of those people that if you told him to be there at noon, he would be there at 11:50, or probably earlier than that. But there's another funny thing about my grandfather, too. If it was Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and the service was supposed to be over at noon, if the service went to 12:01 or 12:02, he would get out of his pew, and he would leave. I'm serious. That's how punctual he was about time. That's how important it was to him. And so the irony wasn't lost on me that at our 9 o'clock service, we went over just a little bit. He's probably scolding me up there in heaven to remember about time, and that's all right. And that's all right. And then in my teenage years, the busyness that came along with life, I'd kind of fallen out of church, my family had, and we moved to a different town, closer to my grandparents on my mother's side. And it was my grandfather that said, you know what, Jimmy, let's go back to church. And we got in the car and we went to church. And every week after that, he drove me to church. And it was in that little Palville United Methodist Church that I felt the call to ministry. And I'm up here in front of you. And so it's because of my grandparents, because of that legacy that they laid before me, that I felt my call to ministry. And I'm the man that I am today. And so I know that many of you have stories just like those. Experiences of people that have made your life better. Experiences of people that laid that foundation for you of faith. Those people that led you to a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we remember those people. And we celebrate them with great joy. And you know, one of the most sacred and special moments that I can ever have as a pastor is whenever a loved one has gone on to be with the Lord. It is soon after that that I meet with the family, whether it be at their home, whether it be in my office, but we talk about their loved one, and we get to share fond memories. I ask them to share with me stories, to share with me about their personality, to share with me about the life that they lived. And I want to tell you, it's in some of those conversations that I've had that some of the most holiest moments of my life were experienced. Times of getting able to hear people's laughter, getting to see tears that were shed, getting to experience and just get a glimpse of someone's life in that way. When you get to hear the story of somebody's life, it's such a blessing and a holy and sacred thing. And so, as we remember those people, as we remember those saints that have gone on before us, let us let those memories be a source of solace and comfort and peace. But I also want to be honest that for many of us, an All Saints Sunday can be a bittersweet thing, can it? It can be hard to remember those loved ones, especially if their passing was recent. It might cut deeply to the heart that you can't embrace them again, that you can't kiss them again, that you can't hold them in your arms until you're reunited in heaven. So we remember that and remember the bittersweet moment that this is. But we are also reminded of some words that I want to share with you, words of comfort and assurance from Revelation 14 and verse 13, which says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.'" So we hold on to that promise. Blessed are the dead who have died in the Lord. that they're in a place where there's no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness. That they're at peace, in a place of worship, in a place of eternal bliss. What a special thing that we get to remember. And there's another thing I want us to remember as the saints. I want us to remember what it is that we believe. Because there are some important words. As I thought about my message, it made me think about the Apostles' Creed. And so I invite you, if you're willing, to turn your hymnal to page 881. It's not necessarily a page, but it's the heading, 881. And so you might have noticed in the bulletin that there was a bit of a typo, that it said the perseverance of the saints. But those of you that know theology, I'm not turning into a Calvinist or anything. It's the communion of the saints. Although there's nothing wrong with Calvinism. But we are Wesleyans. We celebrate the communion of the saints in the Apostles' Creed. And so I want to share with you these words. And I invite you, if you know them, and you have them in front of you, to say them along with me. It says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so I want us to focus on those last four lines. Those last four lines that say the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And so these last four lines, most especially, are what we remember on this All Saints Sunday. This promise, this belief that we have, that we are a communion of saints who have been forgiven of our sins and have experienced a bodily resurrection and eternal life. And so I think the last three are pretty self-explanatory. But I think the communion of saints is something that we might not be familiar with. So what does that mean? What does that mean that we are in a communion of saints? What does that mean? And so I want to share with you two things that this means to me. The first is that when Jesus died upon the cross and saved us from the power of sin, that one gift, that one death upon a cross saved generations and generations and generations of people. It saved people in the past, it has saved people in the present, and it's going to save people in the future. It only had to happen once. Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross to save us, all of us, from our sins. And we remember John 3:16-17, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The whole world, that one sacrifice upon the cross, saved those that have gone on before us, all of us now, and our children's children, and their children, and their children. That promise is ours forever. And secondly, remember that the communion of saints also means that we are together the body of Christ. That we remember that we are both the church militant, all of us doing the work of God, but also the church triumphant. Our parents, our grandparents, those loved ones that have gone on before us, that we are all one body, united in Jesus Christ. And so we remember that we are the church militant. We are the ones still doing the work of Jesus Christ in the world. And that means that those saints that have laid the foundation, that means that we have to continue their legacy, that we have to be the one laying that firm foundation of Jesus Christ in people's lives. We need to lay that foundation in our children, in our grandchildren, in our great-grandchildren, in their children, and in the children after them, and the children after them. That legacy has to live on. The sharing of the old, old story of Jesus and his love has to live on and on and on and on. And that happens through me, and it happens through all of you. And so we remember that beautiful promise in the book of Revelation. And we are reminded in these words that the kingdom of God is a present reality and the kingdom of God is also a future reality all at the same time. So we experience the reality that heaven is ours when we die. And we get to see a glimpse of what that'll be like. In Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." And so it's just a time of worship, of celebrating God, of people from every age, every nation, every race, every tongue. The whole world is represented in the kingdom of God. What a beautiful thing to know. What a beautiful thing to experience. And they shout these praises of worship. They say, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne in worship, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Pure worship of the Lord in heaven. And we also recognize that one day Jesus will come back. One day heaven and earth will be reunited and be as one. We don't know the day or the hour, but we just have to be prepared. And these words are about the tribulation that happens before and the joy that will come later. It says this, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And so we hold on to that truth, that the kingdom of God is both a present and a future reality. That heaven really is a place where there is no more mourning, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. And we hold on together to that promise today. And we know that one day we will be reunited with those loved ones. We'll get to embrace them again. We'll get to kiss them again. We'll get to see them face to face again. What a special and awesome thing. But we also know that we as a church militant still have some work to do. We have to continue to lay that legacy so that our children, our children's children, and their children after them will know the old, old story of Jesus and his love. So church, let us continue to shine the light. Let us continue to share that old, old story so that all the world will know and that we'll get to see that Revelation 7 thing. We'll get to see a multitude that no one could ever count of every nation, of every race, of every tongue. All in the kingdom of heaven, worshiping our God. Will you pray with me? Oh, Holy Lord, this is a day of remembrance. This is a day of thanksgiving. Lord, that we remember those loved ones that have gone on before us. We remember their legacy. We remember the foundation that they have laid for our lives. We remember the love that they shared. We remember their warm embrace, the way that they made us laugh. And so, Lord, let those fond memories hold us, bless us, and sustain us today. But also, Lord, we remember the promise of heaven. We know that because we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we all have a share in heaven. So, Lord, let us accept that gift with great joy. And Lord, help us to continue to shine the light. Help us to continue to lay that legacy down, that great legacy of sharing the old story of your Son Jesus and His love. And it's in His precious and holy name that we all pray. Amen.